now come to the fourth and final part of the Mass, the second of the two minor parts of the Mass, the concluding rites. You know, the concluding rites basically are a matter of sending us forth to become what we have received. Now, the Roman Missal allows at the beginning of the concluding rites for there to be a space, a time for parish announcements to be made. That is certainly allowable according to the Roman Missal. However, I've begun to promote throughout the Diocese of Lubbock the possibility that parishes begin to make their announcements before the Mass even begins. Some would say, well, people aren't going to be there because they're arriving late. Well, the fact is that after communion, a lot of people leave church too. But the benefit that I've experienced in my own pastoral experience, and I know that other parishes have experienced it as well, is that if we move the announcements to the beginning of Mass, we're able to use the Mass as an entire prayer. The prayer of the Mass is not interrupted by nuts and bolts kinds of announcements right after communion or after the prayer after communion. And it sort of maintains the integrity of the prayer which the Mass is. Having said that, however, it's perfectly allowable for announcements to be made at the beginning of the concluding rites after the prayer after communion. This is also a time in which some parish families celebrate birthdays, special blessings like Mother's Day, Father's Day, events like that. And that too is perfectly allowed both by the Roman Missal and by rituals found in the Church's Book of Blessings. Having said all that, let's delve into the very brief concluding rites and its parts. Basically, beyond the announcements, there's two parts, a blessing and a dismissal. The concluding rites of the Mass focus upon the sending forth of the community to translate into deeds the words and actions of the liturgical celebration. And so the concluding rites include a blessing, during which the people once again sign themselves with the sign of the cross and conclude the celebration as they began it. You will recall that the Mass begins first and foremost with the presiding minister making the sign of the cross. After the blessing, whether it be a simple blessing or a solemn blessing in which the assembly is asked to bow their heads, we have the dismissal, usually a dismissal proclaimed by the deacon. And this dismissal is really a matter of sending us forth. What has begun as faith, a gift freely given and freely received, concludes in a crescendo of faith as we acclaim thanks be to God. Now, we're not saying thanks be to God that the Mass is finally over. What we are actually doing is we are thanking God for the mission that He is giving us, going forth to become what we have received. Ite missa est is the Latin version with which the Roman Missal in its Latin form concludes. If you were to really translate that literally from the Latin, it means go having been sent. And that's exactly what the dismissal does. It sends us forth to actually put into deeds, to live what we have become by receiving the Eucharist. We are called to be presences of Christ out in the world as a result of what we have done in celebrating the Eucharist. Finally, I'd like to address the issue of adoring and celebrating the Eucharist outside of Mass. In other words, things like Eucharistic adoration, Eucharistic processions, Eucharistic benediction. The liturgical celebration of the Mass takes precedence over all other forms of liturgical or paraliturgical prayer centering around the reserved Eucharist. It's important to realize that reservation of the Eucharist began for the benefit of the sick. Those who were sick and could not attend the gathering had the Eucharist taken to them following the Sunday celebration. And that's where the practice of reserving the Eucharist in a special place, we now call it the tabernacle, that's where that comes from. Over time, especially as Catholics began to receive communion less frequently, then pious devotions such as Eucharistic adoration and benediction with the Blessed Sacrament began to take root. Now recently I've become aware that many Catholics who are not able to receive the Eucharist, partly because of maybe invalid marriages or because of serious sin that they haven't yet sought forgiveness for, they do find some benefit in Eucharistic adoration and benediction, and we certainly should not diminish that. But it is important that these celebrations or these paraliturgical or liturgical celebrations of the Eucharist already having taken place do play a secondary role to the actual celebration of the Mass. As a matter of fact, it's ideal that if there's going to be Eucharistic adoration, that the Eucharist that is to be adored is actually consecrated at the Mass immediately preceding, or the closest Mass that occurs prior to the act of adoration and benediction. This concludes our podcast on the various parts of the Mass and on our understanding of the Eucharist as Catholics in the Diocese of Lubbock. It is important for us to realize, as the USCCB promotes this year of Eucharistic revival, that Eucharistic pious devotions actually flow from the celebration of Eucharist. And so we need to put our primary emphasis on what it means when we come together to celebrate Mass, celebrating the Eucharist. If we begin to understand that more fully, then our practices of Eucharistic adoration, Eucharistic processions, benediction with the Blessed Sacrament take on a much richer meaning. So I hope that this year of Eucharistic revival will truly be an opportunity for all of the faithful of the Diocese of Lubbock to delve more deeply into their understanding of the Eucharist, of the Mass, and the fact that what look like bread and wine actually become the body and blood of Christ, soul and divinity. May God bless you as you, your faith communities, your families, gather to reflect on the meaning of the Eucharist in your lives, and I hope that you will be celebrating that Eucharist even more frequently and more fervently and more richly, having gained a better understanding of what it is that occurs when we celebrate Mass and how that flows into our pious devotions of Eucharistic adoration, benediction, and Eucharistic processions. God bless you.